KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and rather than reset the show the way we usually do at 6 o'clock, if you missed anything, it's on podcastarena.com, but we've only got a few minutes with our guest here, so we want to jump right in with Abner Maris. Appreciate you taking some time with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
Man, before we get into the fight this weekend, I wanted to hit something on you because you were supposed to fight back in February. Is that right?
Was it yes. February? Yes,
early
it was.
This year?
Early this year.
Against Gervonta Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to pull out with an injury, and it ended up being an eye issue, which
it
is
was.
A scary thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's no joke. I felt bad for you because there were people – I mean, you've been in the fight game for like 15 years.
Yes, I have.
And there were people saying, like, you faked an injury or something.
Yes.
And then it turns out, you got to have eye surgery.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy who's been doing it for that long and has been doing it at a pretty high level, was it frustrating for you to hear people even question?
It was so frustrating, so irritating moment in my life, in my career, to have trolls, to have people. Nowadays, it's so easy, the easy access for people to get at you, talk stuff, you know, on social media, and believe it or not, a lot of people were saying that I was faking the injury because I didn't want to fight Gervonta's Tank Davis. When I was the one that made that fight happen, when I was the one that called him out, it happened a week before. I got injured, detached retina. Unfortunately, I had surgery on it, and I've been off since. Hopefully, I come back by as early as next February, March. But I mean, that's what happens in a contact sport.
Is that injury the kind that, like, you're not even allowed to train right now?
It was exactly. I was not trained. I was training. I was limited.
Cardio. Is it you?
Cardio.
No,
yeah,
contact.
No contact. Exactly. Until now, I just got the green light that I could start having physical contact sparring come next month.
Oh, great! Good for you.
Thank
man.
You.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, I wanted to bring that up because I thought that was
Thank
a
you.
Little
yeah,
bit
no,
silly.
Yeah, no, it was bad. It was really disrespectful on his end. He thought I was faking it as well. We had a talk man to man, and he said sorry. So, I mean, moving on, I'll be back, and can't wait.
Is that the fight you want coming back, or do you want a warm-up fight?
It's almost impossible right now because he moved up to two weight classes, one weight class, super featherweight, lightweight. So I'm taking consideration of someone else, and then we'll see.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the fight. Some heavier guys.
Yes.
Deontay Wilder and Ortiz. I mean, what do you think of this matchup? First, let me ask, were you impressed with what Ortiz was able to do in the first fight?
Of course, I was impressed. I mean, I wasn't, what's the word? I wasn't shocked because we know his fundamentals. We know his boxing IQ abilities. And going in as a softball, we knew he was going to give him trouble. But I thought, you know, Deontay was going to make easy work of him. But to my surprise, the toughest fight in his career. He's talked about it that seventh round where he was almost out. The Wilder we're talking about. And it's almost incredible to believe that Deontay Wilder is giving the man that gave him the toughest fight in his career another opportunity. When right now he is set to fight other bigger fights, you could say.
Bigger money fights, certainly.
Bigger money fights.
And it's risky.
And he said, "No, I want to give him the opportunity. We'll see if he's doing fighting more than he can chew, you know, on this. But I'm a big Deontay Wilder fan. I think that his power is tremendous, is never before seen since Mike Tyson, and he's electrifying. I can't wait to see him fight.
I think what Deontay brings is because let's face it, Deontay is not a great boxer.
No, he's not. He started boxing when he was 19 years old. I mean, so you got to give him that.
But he brings this element that I think is great for boxing because there's not a lot of those guys anymore. There's not a lot of just thumpers, and it's really fun to watch. I mean, the casual fan wants to see knockouts,
yes.
And to put a guy like that in there. And watch these guys who have been doing it since they were able to walk.
Yes. Especially in weight class division, heavyweights.
Yeah.
I mean, when you want to watch a heavyweight, that's what you want to see. You want to see excitement. You want to see knockdowns. You want to see knockouts. You want to see blood. I mean, that's what it is.
I'll be honest.
He delivers.
He made Tyson Fury look interesting. And this Tyson Fury is a guy who, boy, as good as he is, he puts on some real stinker fights from a fan's perspective. Mm-hmm. But that fight was great because Deontay was like, no, we're going to fight.
But then again, that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people are saying, like, how hard is this fight going to be for Deontay Wilder coming back? You know, after the Luis Ortiz fight, the first number one, he fought Tyson Fury. And he learned a lot from it.
Oh, yeah.
He learned a lot from the Ortiz fight. And, well, he got the knockout against Dominic Brazil. But this man has just progressed his boxing abilities, mindset. I mean, he's always so positive. He talks about life, God, the position he's in. And he's taking advantage of it. And he's going to deliver come tomorrow night against Luis Ortiz.
Well, we had a limited time with you today, man. I appreciate you sitting down with us for a minute, Abner, and I'm happy for you. I'm happy
to hear
that you're close to getting back. We'll be excited to see you back in the ring. I'm glad that it's all cleared up.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And I'll be glad to see you back.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Appreciate
you guys.
That's Abner Maris.
Yeah, that's a scary injury for a boxer. Really, well, for anybody, but especially for a boxer.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, the crap he had to deal with.
He was saying he was in sparring and he got hit in the eye and he just felt like this really intense pressure. And, it basically was just debilitating. And he had an elbow injury at the time that he was already fighting through. And he was like, I wouldn't not fight because of an elbow injury.
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting to hear it from him himself because I know he had to be frustrated hearing people say he was scared.
Yeah, and that's a fight that clearly he wanted the fight.
Yeah.
No question. But, all right, so let's reset things. If you want to get in, best way to do it is hit us up on Twitter at Fred Fowler, FAOUR, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975, and at the producer Nick. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And if you miss the first 2 hours, all of it's available on podcastarena.com. And you can catch up with our interviews. That's two now. So as we're broadcasting live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas for Wilder Ortiz 2.
So Lamont says, is AJ going to explain why Roach shut down the interview? To be honest, I've never seen AJ fold the way he did with Roach. Said, I'm effing with AJ, but I've never seen him fold that way. It wasn't really my choice. If we wanted to continue the interview, that's how it had to be. And it wasn't Freddie's choice because he came up after and apologized. Freddie has a PR person whose job is to make sure he doesn't say things that are going to get him in any kind of hot water.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to ask questions like that when there's no PR person around. And you know me, I'm not afraid to ask questions.
I think this is the first time we've had Freddie with a PR person standing over his shoulder.
Yeah, but she instantly, like, put her hand over his microphone. I mean, it was like, it wasn't going to be answered. So,
we've had a lot of great interviews with Freddie, and he's been very honest with us about tons of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a little disappointing, but that's what you get sometimes in these situations. And at that point, I wouldn't say it got awkward, but it was.
No, it did get awkward.
It was awkward with her. I mean, it wasn't awkward with Freddie, so I want to make that clear. And so that's why I went ahead and shut it down right after that because, at that point, we weren't sure what was fair game and what wasn't. And we don't like to do interviews.
I don't want to do an interview if I can't ask the questions I want to ask.
If there's restrictions on it, we're not going to do it. And, so,
and had I known before the interview started there was restrictions, I wouldn't have done the interview.
Yeah, we would have just passed. And but I honestly don't know what – I don't know her, but that's the first time I've seen him with somebody like that. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN is the number if you wish to text the show. But, that kind of stuff happens sometimes. It's not ideal. And that's why we don't – if we've always said this. If there's something – somebody says, oh, he can't talk about this, then we just don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is unless it's O.J.
I would talk to O.J.
Yeah, if O.J. doesn't want to talk about the murders, that's okay. I'm still going to ask.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I don't care.
It'd be like, so O.J.
What are they going to do, not let me talk to O.J. again? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we'd be getting him more than once.
Yeah.
So, of course, you don't want to piss him off.
I'm not scared of O.J. now. He's old and feeble now.
Yeah, but if he's still got a knife, he's pretty good with it.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, he's really good with a knife. All right, guys. I have to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And it is Black Friday all month long at Texas Mattress Makers. And they've got the new Woodlands location. But for Black Friday, they're blowing 30% off select mattresses. And that's not just Black Friday. That's, you can go tomorrow, and you're getting that 30% deal. It's the whole month. Of course, you can go on Black Friday, but why go through all that? Do it right now. You get 30% off select mattresses from factory direct prices. You'll get custom-fitted, handcrafted comfort and support during Black Friday savings, guaranteed, because that's what they do. And you're already saving 50% off of what you would spend in a retail store. And you throw that 30% on top of that because they make the mattresses right there. They sell them to you. They're going to put you on the best one for you because they know everything about sleep and mattresses. That's what they do. That's what Texas Mattress Makers is all about. Enjoy the holidays. Beat the rush. Visit Texas Mattress Makers at the original factory, Navigation in Lockwood, at the store in Katy on 3rd Street, or the new store in the Woodlands, exit Robinson Road in front of iFly. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed. Make sure you tell them you're a Blitzer. They will take care of you. TexasMattressMakers.com.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, this Sunday, looking for something to do. How about the Game Changer Disc Golf Tournament? Noon. Let's get on out to Agnes Moffett Park in Spring Branch. Registration starts at noon. Tournament starts at 1. It's a shotgun start, double scramble play, and the closest to the pin contest. It's a $20 entry, which includes a Game Changer and Nova DX Destroyer disc, refreshments, and prizes for the winners. Get your tickets today at CarbachBrewing.com. And get out to the restaurant this weekend. If you're thinking, oh, I'd like to take my lady out, but you'd also like to, you know, take yourself out, brunch at the restaurant is just an amazing option because they've got all – anytime you take your lady to brunch, you're scoring points, but you can also drink beer, good beer at brunch. That is a winner, my friends. Get out to that restaurant. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and then pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Or just tell your bartender when you're out and about this weekend, pretty please, make it a Carbach.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at the MGM Grand, and we're going to stay in Vegas. We're just going to go across town for the genius that is RJ Bell, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas. He is the master of all gambling, along with both Fezzik and Brad, who I assume are along with us. They're also pretty damn good themselves. What's going on, man?
How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing all right, man. It's Vegas, so it's never too bad, right?
Oh, I mean, I love every day in Vegas.
I mean, unless you got to have like mortgage here or something, then I could see it could get to be a pain in the ass. But you know, it can't be too bad.
Compared to California, I mean.
Oh yeah, when did you live in California, Brad?
I thought
you were from the farm.
I've heard Fezzik has.
Oh well, Fezzik, he's got a mansion and a yacht.
Yeah, not in California, where that's all I could do to rent out a place in Marina Del Rey. Yep.
That's how you got your yacht. You sold your place in California. That's the move right there. All right, boys. Well, as RJ wished, this is the second time he's wished a push on me, and he got it on what I think was like probably the – to be totally honest, I was okay betting-wise on the Cardinals game last week, but for the purposes of our game here, I was plus 10.
Oh, no. That was your game?
That was my game, so it's another push on my record, which is gonna limit my opportunity to win this thing. I gotta say, and gives RJ even more breathing room. So, but Brad, kudos, my man, you are only a half game back of RJ, and that's only because you missed week one. Who knows where you'd be? So you're doing fine. Is RJ with us yet?
He is not.
He has been called into an emergency partner meeting, so he may or may not be able to join us. I have to say, though, regarding that Arizona pick at plus 10, that, you know, we got to talk about bad beats, because that was just a tremendous bad beat that you were able to get a push out of that. You were so lucky. If there had been any time left on the clock, San Francisco would have kicked the extra point, and you would have lost. How lucky were you?
I feel like I was the opposite of lucky, but you know, I guess there's different ways to look at it, right, boys?
Well, of course, Fezzik, I'm being facetious.
We'll go to you first, Fezzik. What's your favorite play this week?
All right, we are going to go to a play that is not going to be popular. The Cincinnati Bengals plus 6.5. I like the Bengals. I bet the Bengals. And let's be candid here. It is not a bet on Ryan Finley. It is not a bet on the Cincinnati Bengals, although I will say that winless teams late in the season historically have been good bets against the spread. But really, this is a bet against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers have a bad offense. Football Outsiders has them as a bottom five offense. Rudolph has been a bad quarterback. And what has happened to the Steelers? They're injured. Their offense is compromised. Their number one wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, is out, and he's number one by a large margin. And, in fact, the number two wide receiver is probably going to play, but he's not 100%. James Conner has been their bell cow running back. He is out. Their center, Pouncey, of course, suspended after kicking the daylights out of Cleveland Brown on Thursday night. And so I got to ask you, if Pittsburgh's offense was already bad, and now they've got these three guys missing, it is a leap of faith to expect that the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is going to be able to shut down the Bengals enough that Pittsburgh's going to be able to get margin and cover the -6.5. Further, I'll make the case Pittsburgh is overrated based upon some recent close wins. Many of those, they got defensive touchdowns, and that enabled them to win the game. The Rams, Indy, the Chargers. I can make the case they probably would have beaten the Chargers anyways without the defensive touchdown, and maybe the Rams. But no way, not that Indianapolis game. That Minkah Fitzpatrick 94-yard interception return totally changed that game at the end of the second quarter. And if that had been a loss for the Steelers instead of a win, the Steelers would not be laying 6.5 here. I like the Bengals plus 6.5.
Yeah, you mentioned all the injuries and you know, Juju being out and Connor being out. I think Marquise Pouncey may be the most important guy that they'll be missing. That guy is one of the best in the league, and it's kind of going on. I guess maybe it's less important because they weren't in the – well, I guess they were kind of in the playoff mix because everybody's talking about how Myles Garrett being gone kills the Browns. I think Pouncey even missing this game is a big deal.
And I know Pittsburgh was pick'em to make the playoffs prior to their loss Thursday night, so it's certainly not a case where Pittsburgh wasn't in the playoff hunt, but I can certainly, I think, make the case – that they're one of the weakest playoff contenders still out there.
Yeah, and the distractions all week. Mason Rudolph has had to, you know, answer a bunch of questions about the incident. I just, when you got a mediocre team that and let's face it, Tomlin's not always buttoned up as a head coach. With all the distractions, do you really want to be laying around a touchdown on the road? I certainly don't.
Well, I was careful when, and I like this bet, but I liked it. I had to pay 130 to get the 7. I mean, is that something that you could recommend, or at what point is that half point worth it?
Yeah, so it turns out that the math is that you like to get plus 7 instead of plus 6.5, and you'd be willing to buy a half point for 10 cents, but not 15. So if you had to choose between betting plus 6.5, lay $1.10, or plus 7, lay $1.20, the -120 is the better bet. However, once you have to pay more than -120, mathematically, it's not worth it to buy the half point. And the dastardly bookies, they have adjusted. They used to let you buy that half point onto the 7. Now, only a few books out there allow it. So if you can buy the 7 and your bookie only charges you 10 cents, then go ahead and do it. Otherwise, you got to stick with the 6.5.
Well, damn. That's a mistake on my part then. I appreciate the lesson, boys. I believe now, Fred, if I'm not mistaken, you have surpassed me in the standings. Oh, I guess we're even.
Wow.
Fred's 5-5. I'm 4-4-2.
Yeah, that's kind of the
same
thing.
So, I mean, you want to go for? You want to take the honors here?
Yeah, well, since I know you're not on this game, and I am, I love the Falcons. I know I'm on the square side of this here, but I love the Falcons against the Bucs at 3.5. This has been a different team since they came back from the break. that, you know, they basically changed play callers on defense, and the defenses look completely different. Jameis Winston is such a turnover machine. I think you're going to see a lot of scoring in this game, but I feel pretty good about the Falcons covering here at home. I think they're living up to the power ranking that I had them at before the season started. I'd be kind of curious where Fezzik has them now, but I just think this is a different football team than what we saw for the first several weeks of the season.
Yeah, in Atlanta, after the last 2 weeks, I've got them my number 21 NFL team. So think about this. This is a 1-7 team that was free-falling. People were talking about Quinn's the next coach that's going to get fired, and now I have Atlanta only 1 point worse than an average team, and you nailed it. It's all been about the play calling since the bye week on defense, and Brad, you've got some information on the what Atlanta changed on defense.
Yeah, Jeff Albrecht's calling the first and second down, and then Raheem Morris, former Tampa Bay head coach, he's calling third down in the two-minute defense. So when you get a fundamental change, to me, I don't think it's that square, Fred, to be honest, because you're either in two camps. If you're believing this new Atlanta is the new team we're going to see going forward, I think 3.5 is very cheap. Now, if you're blending the full season stats in, certainly isn't cheap to be laying more than a field goal. But I'll say this about Jameis Winston. We all say turnovers are luck. I'd say it's not necessarily the case when it's Jameis Winston. And when you got a guy that's thrown 19 interceptions already this year, just so happens to be, you know, Tampa Bay has failed to cover the spread in six straight games. Coincidence or just Jameis Winston is a turnover machine?
And how many games do we have to watch where we say, oh, that Seattle game, you know, Tampa Bay should have covered that one. They got unlucky in overtime. And, the Tampa Bay game, what was the game that I lost was that where Tampa Bay got the fumble recovery touchdown.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Against Tennessee.
Yep.
And it's easy to find ways where, oh, hey, they should have covered. The bottom line is, if I ask you, will Tampa Bay win the turnover battle this week? Does anyone want to bet that? Of course not.
I'm curious you guys' thoughts on that total, because the Falcons have seemingly gotten right based on what their defense has done, and particularly what they've done against the run. But in this game, I think you're looking at two quarterbacks who are going to be looking to chuck it all game and two secondaries who can, quite frankly, just not stop the pass. Do you think this thing, it turns into the track meet that the number suggests?
Yeah, the total's 52. I would agree if you had to play, go over. And the reason being is that although Tampa Bay's defense looks good in the numbers, what I don't think is reflected enough is the fact that Jameis Winston is absolutely a gunslinger. So he's going to go ahead and take huge chances, and so there's a greater-than-average chance of a pick six, of a defensive touchdown, or a short field on a turnover. And you know that Mike Evans or the other stud wide receiver for Tampa Bay could easily pick up an 80-yard touchdown pass. High variance offense for Tampa. And let's face it, what did we see from Matty Ice from the first play last week? I know he completed a 40-yard bomb to Ridley, and he was about to get absolutely crushed, and he hung in there and took the hit to get the ball to Ridley. He's selling out to make the plays for his team. That's something you don't typically see from a veteran quarterback that's been to a Super Bowl for a team that is not winning.
Well, for the Falcons at 3-7, and I guess the Falcons coming into this season, I think expectations were pretty high. I mean, at least relative to what they've done, certainly. Do you think that the Falcons are expensive here because they're a team that the name brand says, oh, well, they were going to be good, and they just haven't been. Now they've looked good 2 weeks in a row. They've got a good quarterback, so we just assume, oh, yeah, now they're good. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, but I would argue at the beginning of the season, Atlanta would have been laying more than this 3.5 points because Atlanta, like you said, was supposed to win 9 games. Tampa Bay was only supposed to win 6.5. So this current number does not reflect the preseason expectations, which would have had Atlanta more like laying 5.5.
And as you look through the Falcons' losses, which, by the way, the Falcons have had a ridiculously tough schedule. It's at Vikings, at Colts, home Titans, at Texans, at Cardinals, home Rams, home Seahawks. I mean, there's really not a lot of awful losses there. I guess the Cardinals is the one that jumps out as like a pretty mediocre team to beat them, but that was by 1 point.
They should have won that game. It came down to a missed kick. And the Cardinals are pretty decent.
Yeah, they're not bad. So maybe the Falcons are a little bit undervalued when you consider the schedule that they've played and that they've had a couple games that really could have gone the other way just as easily.
And one correction here. Actually, I just pulled up the CGT lines from the beginning of the year, and it turns out amazingly, Atlanta was laying 7 against Tampa Bay if you would have bet this game back on September 1st. So that's an indication that this line exactly, although you could say, oh, you know, they're charging a premium for Atlanta, how well they played the last 2 weeks. Well, they're also charging a discount based upon the first 8 weeks.
All right, well, let's get into my play, and I'm going to take the New York Football Giants +6 against the Bears, and this isn't a Giants play. It's just when I look at the Bears every week, I'm looking for the under. That's been the first thing I look at, okay, what's the total so I can play under on the Bears. They're playing the Giants this week. It's two bad offenses. I don't know how they get to 40.5. I don't know how they get to 30.5 total in this game. And that makes me like the team catching almost a touchdown here. I think the Giants are, I mean, I don't see that they're much worse than the Bears at this point. The Bears, obviously, they're a little bit higher in my power rankings because they started out a lot higher, and it's hard to downgrade them so massively. But I'll be honest, it was a sigh of relief to me when I heard that Trubisky's going to play, because I just know that they're trying to dumb down this playbook as much as possible. They're trying to ask him to do basically nothing. And in that kind of a game, I love getting a dog of 6 points. What do you guys think?
Love it. And on top of that, you got a quarterback in Daniel Jones. I don't think many people would even know this. Last 3 games for Daniel Jones, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's up to full season average, number 17 in QBR, playing like an average quarterback. That's pretty good for a rookie. I agree with you. And just so you know, AJ, RJ Bell's best bet on a straight out of Vegas that he gave out about a little over a half hour ago, was the Giants +6.
Oh, well, he's going to have to find a new one for our game.
And if you look at the offense for the Bears, league average is right around 350, a little bit over that. The Bears have only gotten 300 yards once all season long.
That's unbelievable.
So I can make the case for, you know, the Bears are the rare bird that they have lost games where the scoreboard does not show accurately how badly they got outplayed. You think back to the Saints blowout loss, where somehow they wound up in the mid-20s and seemingly the offense did nothing the whole game. The Eagles lost. What did they do? Cross midfield twice? They got touchdowns on both those possessions. That Bear offense has really been bad, and the team does not look like they trust Trubisky at all.
All right. That brings us to Brad Powers. Brad, you going to the college ranks this week? What do you got, my man?
Yeah, I am. I'm going right back to the team I think I used on this show last week. I'm going Texas Longhorns in the underdog role. Are you kidding me? And it's more not so much a play on Texas. It's a play against a Baylor team that had a huge missed opportunity last week. But I just don't think it was a blown lead. I think this Baylor team legitimately is gassed. This is a team that doesn't have the depth of athletes like a Texas or an Oklahoma. And it makes sense that, you know, they kind of fell apart in the second half. If you look at Baylor's schedule, 6 of their last 8 games have been decided by one possession, and a lot of those games, multiple overtime games, total of 5 overtimes Baylor has played in. And you just, if you would have just taken a Sharpie and covered up that box, that final score for the Oklahoma game last week, and I saw Oklahoma outgained Baylor by more than 200 yards, first downs, more 16 more first downs than Baylor, time of possession, oh, my God, goodness. Oklahoma had the ball for more than 40 minutes, actually more than 41 minutes. I would have said, hey, Oklahoma won that game by 3-plus touchdowns. I think the fact that for a majority of that game, Baylor is beating Oklahoma convincingly has them a little expensive here. I'll take Texas plus the 5.5. And on top of it, obviously, you got Tom Herman, an underdog role, which paid again last week against Iowa State.
I absolutely love that pick, Brad. That's one of my favorite plays of the week.
Uh-oh.
So. That's probably not good news for you.
Uh-oh. No, I'm not afraid of it. I actually think Texas is going to win the game outright.
I do, too.
Since we have a little extra time with you guys, I'll ask you about some of the marquee games that are going on in the NFL this week. I'm curious the thoughts on Dallas-New England, and I think this is a game that I've heard a lot of people really split on. And I was really hoping for a Dallas +7. And it lasted, I guess, about 5 minutes, and I wasn't able to get any of it. And I didn't play anything at 6.5 because I wanted 7, and then it went the other way. Now it's at 6. And it almost feels like, man, I feel like the Patriots are going to win the game. I just don't know by how much. I mean, what are you guys seeing on this game? And are you willing to give six in a Patriots game? Because the Patriots have really played these low-scoring games. What do you guys think of the matchup here?
Yeah, so breaking news, Brady gets reported on the injury report, elbow issue. We all expect him to play, but maybe there's something to that. We don't know. Vegas reacted, as you mentioned, line dropped from 6.5 to 6, even see a 5.5 out there. One thing for sure, Tom Brady struggling, currently number 15 in the league standings in terms of QBR quarterback ratings. And frankly, Brady, I've got the numbers on him the past 5 years, and he's been number 6 each and every year going back to 2015. So this is a huge drop. And so if Brady isn't able to throw the ball effectively, Sanu is out as number 2 receiver, and New England can't run. They're 30th in the league in yards per rush. That's going to be awfully difficult to get margin against a Dallas Cowboy team that, one thing we know for certain, that offense is potent. Having said that, we saw that potent offense come up dry against the one really good defense they played, the Saints. And, Brad, you've got some really good numbers about why you don't want to bet against the Patriots at home.
Yeah, I mean, it's number one, you don't make money fading Belichick and Brady, especially, believe it or not, when New England's at home. This isn't getting reported enough. New England, 20 straight home wins, 20-0 their last 20 home games. More impressive to me, 16-4 against the spread. You know they're laying the lumber in a lot of these games. 16-4 against the spread, average cover margin by a touchdown per game. I could see it, you know, Dallas keeping it close particularly. I mean, who has New England played this year? I can make a strong case Dallas is probably the second-best team New England's played this year. But I don't go up against Belichick and Brady.
If you are going to bet Dallas in this game, I'd make a strong case. We don't talk about this very often because it's really pulling back the curtain. But I think betting props on Dallas, for instance, maybe Dallas first downs plus 2 against the Patriots, something along those lines, or overall yardage for some of the Dallas players, because I could easily see a scenario where Dallas wins the yardage, wins the first downs, and still loses the game by 10 points.
Let's go to the other marquee game this weekend, the Sunday night game between Green Bay and San Francisco. And I don't think we know if George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders are playing. They're listed as questionable. They haven't really been practicing. I know they want to play. I think it'd be wise of the 49ers to keep them out, honestly. I don't like betting Aaron Rodgers on the road. But in this case, I don't know what the 49ers offense is without those guys. And I just have a really hard time thinking that this 49ers team is as good as we think they are if they don't have those two pass catchers. What do you guys think of this number? It's up to I actually, Fez, I thought I was being you. I said, oh, this is going to be a line mover. And I was bummed when I bought it at 3. I said, it's going to keep coming down on the Packers. And then I guess some San Francisco money's come in, and it's back up to 3.5. What do you guys think of that line, and why do you think it's moving? Are you thinking that maybe Kittle and Sanders are more likely than doubtful?
Don't have an update on Sanders, but I did get an update that Kittle is more likely than not to play. So this has been going back and forth all week. Early in the week, Kittle said, oh, I'm feeling great. Then he didn't practice Wednesday, but now it looks more likely than not he will play. That's probably why you're seeing some of those threes moving to 3.5.
Well, what do you guys think of the matchup?
I'll jump in here, Fez. I think both teams are overrated, and I'll see if Fez agrees with me here. San Francisco benefited from a relatively weak schedule and really hasn't looked the part the last three games, including two against the Cardinals. On top of that, the Packers, very fortunate win against Carolina where they come up, 6 inches short of the goal line. Last time they traveled to the West Coast, they're outgained by, 250 yards against the Chargers. Yeah, for me, if it's going to go to 3.5, I'd prefer the Packers, obviously. But moving forward, I think we can make money going against both teams.
Yeah, and the Packers have been outgained by 60 yards per game since midseason. So think about this. You've got a Packer team that has an elite record, and they're not just getting outgained. They're getting outgained by 60 yards. So those first three games, they went ahead. The Packers did. They got some suspect offenses, including Denver and Chicago. They held all three opponents to 17 points or fewer. Since then, that defense has been mediocre. In Football Outsiders right now, despite those three really good games, which are in the data, Green Bay's ranked the number 18 defense. That means they've been worse than the number 20 defense since then. So all of the optimism about that Green Bay D has pretty much gone and left. And let's face it, Aaron Rodgers has not been a very good quarterback on the road. Historically, Aaron Rodgers has only won about half of his games when he has to go on the road. Well, now he's not playing an average team. He's not playing a good team. He's playing a borderline elite team that arguably does have some pieces missing. Joe Staley's going to miss their tackle, and the 49ers do have some injuries on defense as well, but still.
D-Ford's out.
Yes, I could only look, and Alexander, their linebacker's out for the year, so I could only look toward at three at San Francisco. But once it goes above three, you know, this is kind of how pros bet. That three is so important. Just look at the game last night. Houston, -3, perfectly fine. -3.5, not so good.
All right. Do you have a proxy bet for RJ, or are we just going to have to have him sit one out? What do you think?
You're going to have to get that from him, because I would vote Cleveland -10.5.
I think that's a great choice. Let's write it down.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take personal responsibility.
Really? You're going to do this?
I'm going to do this.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to do this. RJ made a tremendous case, and I know it's a duplicate. Is he allowed to do a duplicate bet?
He's not allowed to duplicate.
I don't have it. No duplication. Where, you know, he's going to have to do a double play next week, because I can tell you that RJ does really like the New York Giants for all the listeners, but no official play for RJ this week.
Well, we're just going to go with what Brad said, and Brad's going to have to take the bullet on Cleveland -10.5.
No, that was a joke. That's funny, though.
All right, boys. Well, hey, we appreciate you guys taking the time with us, as always. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you. I don't know if we'll talk to you next week. I guess we'll have to we'll figure that out off the air. I don't know if you guys are working on Friday or not, but we'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Hey, sounds good. You guys enjoy the fight.
Enjoy that turkey.
Yeah, you too.
All right, guys.
Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik. So,
at Brad Powers 7, at Fezzik Sports. And you can find them both at pregame.com.
And they both, just on Twitter, they always have such, well, you can tell from listening to them, but they always have such great information.
Yeah.
And if you're playing at all, whether you can always get their picks on pregame, but just some of the thought processes that those guys have are next level. And they share a lot of that on Twitter. All right. What are we doing here, Aaron? Oh, I'm going to tell you about Lightstream. And, guys, well, we know what next week is. Holidays are already here, and you're probably having family coming in. You're trying to think of some ways to save some money. Well, here's something you might not have thought of. How about you consolidate your high-interest credit card balances at a lower rate and save with Lightstream? You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay, much lower than the national average interest rate, which is over 20%. Plus, your rate is fixed, so as the rates rise, your low rate won't budge. There are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that is exactly what they deliver. Just for the listeners, how about this? Apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's lightstream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred. That's lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Las Vegas, for Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz 2. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One final segment to go from Las Vegas before we basically get drunk the rest of the weekend. Hey, Fezzik was talking about where Brady ranked in that QBR. I was just taking a look at it, and I think it's not a perfect judge by any standard.
No, but if you're coming up with a stat to judge quarterbacks, I do think it's, if you could say one stat, I think it's the best one.
Well, here's, and this kind of backs that up, because if I give you the five guys that I think have been the best quarterbacks this year. They're basically 1 through 5 on this. Russell Wilson, 78.1. Dak Prescott, 77.8. Lamar Jackson, 77.8. Patrick Mahomes, 76.9. Deshaun Watson, 71.4. Those are the five guys who are all over 71 in QBR.
No Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is 14th.
Ooh, that's low. Where's Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins is 8th.
Okay.
Now, there are a couple. Like Matt Stafford is 6th.
That's surprising.
And Carson Wentz being 7th is surprising.
That's surprising.
But I think the top five, I you know. But Matt Ryan, 9. And I think number 10 surprises me. Kyler Murray.
I think a lot of that has to do with he hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions. Yeah. That probably keeps his numbers high.
But just to take you through the top 15, Derek Carr, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jimmy Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady.
Derek Carr, I would have thought higher. Jimmy Garoppolo, I would have thought a little lower.
Yeah, but that's I think that's interesting. That at least at the top, you know, and yeah, maybe you can make a case for Rodgers, but I think that's the five guys that I think have played the best. And so there you go. There you go. All right, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We said this week.
Perfect little, you know, Christmas present for dad or your husband or wife, whatever, if she's into the big black beers.
Oh, so. Yeah, she is.
Now, Joel Blank, beef.
Stop.
No, stop. I'm just kidding. Before anybody go run, tell Joel.
Yeah, somebody will tweet. Hey, you hear what I said?
What the hell was that? That's the tattletale voice.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guess what AJ said? AJ said that about you.
Idiots.
And if we're not responding to your tweets, we're sitting at the airport. We're either at the airport or drinking beer somewhere. Yeah. One of the two.
Don't judge us.
Probably both. But we
decided, who are you to judge us?
Well, they're listeners. They can judge us anytime they want.
Yes.
They tend to.
Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
It's only Thursday.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. God, Aaron. Wow. That's the impression that we just put on the Charlie listeners.
Yep, that's my bad.
Come on, Aaron. You know, we're supposed to count on you because we don't know what day it is. We're in freaking Vegas. All right, are we going to try it again or what?
You want to start from scratch or you just want to start?
No, I don't want to start from scratch because I had a really cool, energetic opening. And then you kind of peed all over it.
All right, so here we go.
Pick it up where it's supposed to go.
Shall we begin?
This is an ESPN.
And then I hear him juggling the door. It's clearly not working for him.
Juggling or jiggling?
Either one.
Juggling a door would be very difficult. First of all, you would need more than one door to technically juggle it.
You could kind of theoretically get the handle and, you know, but anyway, jiggling, fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We said this week.
Stickler.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
All right, so interesting week, but final thoughts on the fight, final thoughts on college football tomorrow. Kind of hit me with what you think about what's going to happen here and what you like tomorrow or what you're most interested in tomorrow in college football.
Okay, I'm going to say with the fight, I like Wilder. I think that he actually – he knows what he did wrong. The fact that he wanted this fight lets me know that he knew what he did wrong in that last fight. And I think you'll see a more aggressive version of Deontay Wilder than we saw in the first Ortiz fight. I think he's going to come at him and try to get him out of there early because he realizes the later the fight goes, the more dangerous a guy like Ortiz can be. So it may be a quick night, but that means it'll be fun. And if it's not a quick night, hell, we maybe see Ortiz push him again. I'd love to see that too. But I do think Wilder's going to – he'll be hunting for the knockout. And if he gets that, I think it sets up perfectly a rematch with Tyson Fury. And that's the fight that, you know, we've been saying. That's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah, and then as far as college football goes tomorrow, I guess Ohio State, Penn State is really the big one. Do you give A&M any chance at all against Georgia?
I don't.
I don't either.
I think 13, that's a number that I give them a chance to make that.
I'm not even sure. I feel like they can stay inside that.
Georgia just doesn't run away from you real, you know, a whole lot. And the reality is, I mean, when A&M's not played top level teams, they've looked good. The problem is Georgia's a pretty top level team,
yeah.
Especially on the defensive side. I think Georgia makes Kellen Mond look pretty bad. But again, 13 points is a lot. I actually used Georgia in a tease over the weekend, down to 7. So I think that that'll be a good game. But if Georgia makes a real impression here, I think that, you know, it gives them more momentum. Because let's face it, they're going to dog stomp Georgia Tech, but
yeah,
it gives them some momentum going into a game against LSU.
Well, and it's also kind of their last chance to impress people before that, because Georgia Tech's not going to impress anybody.
No, but Georgia doesn't really need style points.
No,
Georgia needs to
win. They just need to beat LSU
and then play LSU. Yeah, so beating up on A&M's not going to do them a lot of good, which is why I don't really want to give a full 13.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I think Georgia's going to have to play a poor game, which they've only done really once. I don't think they played that great against Notre Dame, but they played well enough to win. And A&M's going to have to play its best game of the year, in my opinion. And if that happens, I think it could be close. But, again, that's something we really haven't seen this year.
Yeah.
And that Ohio State game, until they show me different, I think Ohio State's going to curb stomp them. I really do. They're almost a video game, man, and especially on offense. I mean, their defense is really good, too. But offensively, when Fields is out there, it's almost an upset when you stop him.
Yeah.
So I know Penn State's got a good defense, but I think this will tell us a lot. I think Ohio State's going to roll pretty good here.
And then, you know, I think there's a couple games that I'm looking at. I told you I like Cal against Stanford. I like Cal to win that game outright. I think I might like Pittsburgh to beat Virginia Tech outright. I mean, if you want to take 3.5, go for it. But I think both those teams are live dogs. And then, you know, I'm kind of with you on Texas. I think Baylor may, like Brad said, may just be running out of steam. I think another team I'm probably going to look at this week is Syracuse against Louisville. It's not fun, but Louisville is not. They've fallen off down the stretch, so I think you maybe get a good number there.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier in the week. I liked Oklahoma State. I'm probably going to back off that now. But
the good news is, if you liked Oklahoma State when they were -7 or whatever, that news has dropped it to 5.5. But you know, West Virginia, that's a tough place to travel to.
It is, and they've started to figure things out a little bit. But I still think Oklahoma State's a better team, but I don't feel as confident as I did before. And I definitely like Texas. That's a big play for me. All right. Well, guess what? That music means
we done.
We are done.
We out here.
We're off to we're gonna ruin Las Vegas. I think that's the plan. Great job back at studio by Aaron. Much better than yesterday. Great job by Nick out here helping us stay on air at the MGM. Always a great job by A.J. Hoffman. That was pretty good today.
Not bad.
For a Friday. A Friday in Vegas. We will see you guys on Monday. Have a great, great weekend. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.